Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Dragoncast. Home of House of the Dragon. Gather your small council, send out your ravens and call in your bannermen. I'm Hand of the King, Jamie East, here to guide you through the insane world of Westeros and beyond.
Welcome, 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 you lovely, lovely Dragoncasters. It is Dragoncast. It is the Game of Thrones rewatch. It is Season 7, Episode 7. I'm Jamie East.
And I'm Chris Mandel.
Here we are. This is into the final four.
Final four.
Goodness, we're in the quarterfinals of our Game of Thrones rewatch. Crazy time. This is the dragon and the wolf.
Which, a bumper-sized episode. It was an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, so I wrote this. I was like, this is like movie length, which is just like, and still barely get, it shows how in-depth Thrones kind of was and how meticulous and slowly things moved. Was that like, you get it, they could have made a film, you know, this is why Game of Thrones like could never have been a movie, because where would you start?
Oh my god,
this would be like a 30-second thing, and instead,
couldn't even work as a trilogy, because the first one would just be set up.
Yeah, exactly.
And the final one would just be wrapping it up. What did you think of the episode?
I loved it. I think my question, and this isn't me, I'm not making no judgment on anyone, and it's may or may not be my point of view, is this as good as it got?
Oh, good question.
An interesting question to the listeners.
Is it as good as it got? Well, because, I also thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
All of the things, we didn't really talk about this enough last week, but like one of the joys of having so many characters is getting them back together. And there was so much of that this episode.
Yeah.
I think it is, I liked that most of the episode was a big ethical debate. Like, I think the show is good at those things, and it's good when it has people just in a room, like, hashing it out. It was a real high for me. Often the finales are very, like, let's tie everything up and tease next season. And I loved the fact that the structure of Season 7 meant they couldn't do the 10-episode sort of thing, and I thought it was really satisfying in some ways more than others, which maybe we'll get to.
Well, I'll tell you what, before we start getting into the weeds of it all, let's have a recap of what actually happened in that episode for those that need reminding from our sister podcast previously on.
At King's Landing, the forces of Daenerys and Cersei face each other uneasily as the two queens prepare to meet. In the Dragon Pit, the ancient home of the Targaryen dragons, we're treated to the largest gathering of main characters ever. Everyone is prepared for betrayal. Everyone's got an itchy trigger finger. The White, captured in last episode's suicidal mission, is unboxed in front of everyone. It sprints towards Cersei, its chain stopping it inches from her face. The Hound chops the dead man in half, and Jon Snow demonstrates how only fire and dragonglass can destroy them. Euron Greyjoy abandons Cersei, saying he's taken the Iron Fleet home so that they can survive the coming war with the dead. Cersei accepts the truce offered by Daenerys, at least until the dead are defeated, but she wants Jon Snow to swear never to fight House Lannister again. Jon says he's unable to promise this, as he's already pledged his support to Daenerys. Cersei withdraws her offer and storms out. Tyrion speaks to his sister in private. She wants to take his head off, but talks long enough for Tyrion to realise that Cersei's pregnant. He uses this to bring Cersei back to the Dragon Pit. To fight for her unborn child, she agrees to send all the Lannister forces north. In Winterfell, Sansa receives word from Jon Snow that he has bent the knee to Daenerys. Littlefinger uses this to turn Sansa against Jon and Arya. Theon goes to Jon for absolution. Jon can't forgive all of Theon's betrayals, but he forgives him enough to tell Theon he's both a Greyjoy and a Stark in his heart. Theon remembers how Yara tried to save him from captivity, and Jon suggests he should be helping her. She was captured by Euron a while back. Theon manages to prove himself a leader to his Iron Men and sets off to do just that. In the Great Hall of Winterfell, Arya is brought before Sansa and all her lords. Sansa announces accusations of murder and treason, but suddenly turns towards Littlefinger and asks how he answers the charges. A shocked Littlefinger doesn't understand what's happening. Sansa explains that he taught her too well. She knows he was trying to turn her against her family. Bran, with his three-eyed raven powers, reveals he saw Littlefinger betraying their father. Littlefinger begs for help, but the only mercy is shown is when Arya swiftly cuts his throat. See ya, fella. Jaime Lannister organises the troops for their march north. Cersei calls him an idiot and says she never intends to help Daenerys. Euron didn't abandon her after all. He secretly sailed to Essos to bring her sellswords, who are armies for hire. Jaime tells her he promised his support to fight the Whites and heads north to help despite Cersei's death threats. Just then, snow begins to fall on King's Landing. Sam Tarly arrives at Winterfell for a reunion with Bran. They last saw each other in Season 3, and together they work out that Jon Snow isn't just the son of Rhaegar Targaryen and Lyanna Stark. He's their legitimate son, and therefore the true heir to the Iron Throne. Jon Snow and Daenerys sail to the north, consummating their romantic relationship in a way only an unknowing aunt and nephew can. At Eastwatch, a castle of the Wall, the army of the dead emerge from the forest. They're unable to pass until the Night King arrives on an undead Viserion. The Ice Dragon blasts the wall with blue fire and brings it tumbling down. The dead march south over its ruins. The wall has fallen, and ladies and gentlemen, winter is here.
There you go. You're up to date. You're up to speed on all things Westeros. Where do you want to begin, Mr. Mandel?
Well, I think we should talk about... I mean, the episode is kind of in a... most of it is the big meeting at the Dragon Pit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we could talk about that first. And then there's the Winterfell stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's the stuff with the Night King, which is kind of brief.
Fair enough. Okay,
well, so let's talk about the big meeting. So perfect, yeah, everybody has met to sort of discuss a kind of ceasefire until they sort the threat out in the north. So they all come down and we've got all the gangs here. Love the way that we talked about it in a previous episode, but Christ, what's he called?
Sir Bronn. Yeah. Let's me and you go to the pub and let the posh folk talk business.
Yeah. It's weird because I feel like they made such a note of like, here's why Bronn's not there. I would not be like,
I would not be surprised Bronn's if he just stood outside. Yeah.
Some of them, Brienne didn't say a bloody thing. You know, it was quite a weird like Streisand effect of making more of it out of it than they had to. But
for those that don't know what we're talking about, we discussed it in previous episodes. Allegedly, you know, as rumor has it that Bronn and Cersei IRL had an affair or had a fling previous to Game of Thrones that did not end well. And part of Lena Head is, I guess, requests as Thrones became established was that Jerome Flynn was not to share any stage or screen time with her whatsoever. So safe to say, Jerome probably didn't make the, if it's true, not the best decision he ever made in his love life, one would say. There we go.
So the gang's all there. One thing that I thought was a really odd choice was, obviously they have the white in a big box.
Yeah.
And a horse has brought it over on a wagon all the way. And then they go, let's have Sandor Clegane just carry it in on his back for the final stretch. Why? If it's built for dragons, a horse can get in that courtyard.
Yeah.
But that is the dragon pit, which we have seen in its splendor.
Yes.
In House of the Dragon. And it's kind of interesting seeing it absolutely bombed.
And there was a good moment. There's a good moment later on where Daenerys talks to Jon about the dragon pit and how it actually became the downfall of the Targaryens. And we saw them pick up that jawbone of a tiny dragon.
Yeah.
Said this just made them weaker. It made them smaller. And
because they were contained.
Yeah. And that had the same effect on us, you know, which was.
Yeah. And I thought actually, I don't really know. You know, it's the first time we've been to the dragon pit on the show. It's obviously in complete disuse.
Yeah.
But I thought it's actually quite canny of Cersei to choose the location. You know, they could have met in the court. They could have met in King's Landing. But she said, no, we're going to actually have this in the decaying ruins of your family's, you know, kennels, basically.
This is your legacy.
This is where the Targaryen power was diminished. And this is the last remaining relic of the Targaryens. I thought that was a bit of a power play.
Yeah, 100%.
I think Tyrion sort of mentions that by the end, the dragons were like the size of Labradors or dogs because they were so malnourished and they weren't able to stretch their wings and fly and stuff. So, yeah, and there's lots in that with Daenerys where it's clear that, look, what are you going to do with your dragons when you finally come here? Like, what's the plan? Like, there's just no
thought. She has no plan.
Well, they heard, it was the last, rewatch,
episode, last episode where they were talking about succession with Tyrion. And this is more about a tactical plan, was just that, like, just sitting on the throne isn't the end of the game. That's just like that's just where your first day at work begins. You've got
there was a whole storyline in season 4 where her dragon, like, ate a child.
And she
was like, shit, I should really think about what I'm going to do. And then it's like, okay, they're now 5 times the size and you haven't
thought about what you're going to do.
The meeting's great because all the characters have lived through so much on the show. The one that doesn't really work, and we've talked about him before, is Euron, who they need to be such an aggressive character that he's like saying to Tyrion, like, oh, we throw dwarves in the sea where I'm from. And like you can see like even Cersei being disgusted with him. And I always thought they did such a bad job with him because they're trying so hard.
Yeah, I got quite excited when he was cast because I think he's such a great actor in Pilau. Mm. Even though he did that, do you remember just before this season aired, before he came onto Game of Thrones, he hosted Eurovision?
No, I didn't know that.
Did you not remember that? Like literally, like it got announced that he was had been cast as Euron Greyjoy, and then ended up co-hosting Eurovision, like.
That is so weird.
Just crazy. Which is just like, and I don't know why it should be that crazy. Because he's an actor, he's like got to pay the bills, blah, 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 blah. But he just kind of like rocked up in this.
And he'd done Borgen by this.
And he'd done Borgen by then. So he was great in Borgen. But then he just like co-hosted Eurovision. Very bizarre.
It's like if Olivia Colman hosted Eurovision in the UK.
Exactly. She like did Celebrity Hunted or something. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
It's weird.
That's amazing.
But anyway, I think I got quite excited when he was cast because he is a great actor. But again, Thrones never really did moustache twiddling Terry Thomas villains very well. A little bit of the Ramsay Bolton-esque about him, you know.
He just reminds me of Russell Brand for some reason.
It was the leather trousers.
Yes. Yeah. And the podcast.
Although I would imagine, I think Euron probably washed his a bit more.
Yeah. I think he would. A bit of salt, maybe.
I remember watching this for the first time and like the opening 10, 20 minutes where Brienne and the Hound are back together. That brilliant, fucking great moment where they get very parental, full of parental pride over Arya, and was just a lovely moment. And I just got the sense, a bit of NUI. I was just like, oh, it is coming to an end now.
People, you
know, we spent so long watching these people on their travels with different side missions and different objectives. And now, holy shit, this is it. This is kind of everyone gearing up. And it's like, oh man, it was the first time watching this where I was just like, I got a little pang of sadness where I was just like, fuck, this is going to end. They're about to kick off.
They're
actually going to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think also like last week I was saying, I think in hindsight, I think they should have dealt with the White Walkers first.
Yeah.
And then dealt with Cersei. No, sorry.
The other way around. Yeah.
They should have dealt with, and then all gone on to take the night on the Night King.
Yeah.
I think the reason they've done it makes sense in this episode, because what has united them and what has caused them to like move past some of their grudges is the fact that they are all facing near certain death and human extinction. And that wouldn't, you wouldn't have the same effect. You wouldn't have been able to have this scene if this season was all about defeating Cersei and next season was about the White Walkers. Mm. So it sort of made a bit more sense that they're all able to. I mean, look, so many great houses have gone. The lands are destroyed. And it does mean, like, I mean, Clegane, for example, is a great example of, like, he was the way he was because he was the Lannisters' like, attack dog.
Yeah.
And now that he's not, he's kind of like rehabilitated, and you see him now, as you said, with Brienne, and you're like, oh yeah, you're just like a really traumatized old hound, aren't you? So I thought it was really effective, and I thought that you know, Cersei, just her like indifference to the cause was really interesting, because part of her must know that it's true even before the White. But
yeah, do you think that though? I mean, I think her reaction to that White was so brilliant.
Oh, man. I mean, I think it was worse than she thought.
Yeah.
Definitely. But it
I think it,
must
it showed
be hard.
Qyburn up a bit. Because, you know, Qyburn should have... He's the Hand of the Queen. And he should have... And he's like this mystical kind of like loves a bit of voodoo, you know, listens to Black Sabbath. You know, he would kind of like, he should have been on top of that. He should have done his research and found out about the Night King. It's a bit of a plot hole in his kind of backstory that he hasn't, because he looks for the darkness and the weird and everything. You know, you look at fucking the mountain.
This is the thing, right? I mean, what did he do to the mountain that's so different to what, you know, we don't know where it, science becomes magic and
you see him holding the hand up and going, oh, interesting. And it's like, no, mate, you should have been all over that. You should have.
Yeah. Definitely. Mm. It also still feels to her like a very foreign problem in the sense that it's not happening on her doorstep. Yeah. But, you know, it's hard to get the impression. I mean, I kept thinking, what would Tywin have done if he was around? I think his thing would have been, we're going to lock the walls. We're going to get all of the, you know, if she hadn't blown up the set last season, they should have lined Dragonfire all around King's Landing just to keep everyone out. It's interesting sort of thing to think about. This sort of existential threat is supposed to bring everyone together, and it sort of nearly does.
What we watch is, you know, it's the negotiation. But by the time we get to the end of the episode, we learn that Cersei had made up her own mind even before she stepped foot into that. Into that. So regardless of what she saw, she was never, ever going to cede permanent kind of peace to Daenerys and Jon. Regardless of whether Jon bent the knee, regardless of what Jon's reaction was, because Euron had already, she'd already hatched that plan with Euron to marry him.
Yeah.
So, which was a bit annoying, really, because I'm not sure I believed that. You know, I'm not sure that helped. I think I would have preferred that for not to have been the case.
I think this is one of the things where 7 episodes affect the season, because you just don't get enough time to sort of see the process worked out. And I think Cersei's someone that we get very little understanding of, like, what she's thinking at the moment. I also think with her and Jaime, bearing in mind she blew up like the biggest church in the city and wiped out like thousands of people.
Yeah,
Jaime doesn't really have enough time. And it might be that they talk about this a lot in other episodes, but I don't think it's true. He is disgusted by it, and we don't really get enough time to see that work out. And, you know, I think he would leave her, really. But you need him at the front of the army of the Lannisters. So he has to stay in place. And I think Jaime's someone that suffers this season, because you just don't get the opportunity for him to behave like he would, because we haven't got time, frankly.
She
needs someone to bicker with, and she needs someone to sort of parlay with. But I thought
She was pregnant.
Oh, I hate that storyline.
I'd completely forgotten that.
Yeah, it implies that the only reason she's doing it is for her baby. But it's like, you've got I'm sorry, we haven't got 18 years to sort of see this play out. Like, I always thought what was really great about her was how selfish she was. And there was always this feeling of like, I've never been allowed to be a ruler because I'm a woman, which is kind of what Daenerys's whole thing is. That she's like, now my dad's dead, I'm going to do things how I want. And she does fuck things up, not unlike the Roy siblings trashing their dad's company.
True.
But it's like, but it is my right to do this. I don't care if I don't have any knowledge of armies, I'm going to do it anyway. So so Euron's gone off to get the Golden Company, which we will see next season.
What did you think of Jon's thing? It felt as annoying on this watch as it did the first one.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what I find interesting is the season kind of ends exactly where it started. Like, I find that frustrating. Like, I think it doesn't feel like...
What do you mean?
Well, the everyone's still warring with the Lannisters.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels like... I mean, obviously Daenerys and Jon form an alliance and that sort of thing. But in terms of like the board, no one's really moved. The people that have died are all quite... sorry, I'm going to just sneeze in a sec.
Go on. Here it comes.
No, it's gone.
Oh, there it is. Oh, God, I bet that felt good.
Oh, love a sneeze. You know, the people that die, like Olenna Tyrell, the Sand Snakes... You know, they don't really affect the storyline in a major way, and it's an interesting season because things do progress, but they don't really move forward. So, I thought Jon's pride was really in keeping with his character. But yeah, I mean, it's as Tyrion said, would it hurt you to lie once in a while? Like, could you not help us get this thing through? But it also doesn't matter because she was going to betray them anyway.
True.
Last week we were talking about the whole mission to get the white and to get it south, and we sort of talked about how it had to happen. But if she's going to ignore, them anyway, then it was all pointless in a way. This season has so many good moments. It looks amazing. Character stuff's great, but it does frustrate me how inert some of it is.
I mean, but you know, we know why. You know, well, you know, seven episodes and six episodes was just not enough time to complete the saga. If you think, where were we at the end of season six? Was what was the final episode of season six? We covered it, didn't we? It was
they blew up the
Winds
set.
Of Winter.
Yeah, Daenerys. Set sail. She trashed the slavers' ships.
That was it. So, you know, it's kind of like up until that point, there was so much to be done. There was like that was almost like the end of the second part of the trilogy.
Yes.
You know, if you look at it as a trilogy, you know, that was like six seasons to get to that point. There should have been another three seasons.
Oh, 100%. I think, and I mean, like, we were talking last week about House of the Dragon going into its second season, just being a bit more like, okay, what do we need to tell the story and how do we tell it? And I think this show, because they didn't have that foresight, they sort of started out very like bespoke and they've had to rush it a bit. And, you know, these aren't new points. This is well known at this point that a lot of people feel the end was a bit rushed, but you know, it, like we were saying, a dragon has to die so the wall can come down, and it's like, well, the dragon couldn't have got there any sooner because Daenerys only just got here. And I mean, it's just a lot of things that have to happen, and we get it all quite quick. I mean, I don't want a season seven where it's like, well, it will take 3 months for them to get down there from King's Landing, so let's just watch that. Like, I don't want that. But the moments that I loved were the smaller moments. The scene with Cersei and Tyrion in Cersei's chambers is one of the best on the show. Like, one of the best. And it's because it's not based on anything in the books. We're not there yet. They know on this show, what this show does well is they stick two people in a room that have beef.
Yeah.
And they let it come out. And I thought that scene was just so, illuminating because Cersei says to Tyrion, like, it's your fault everything fell apart because you killed Tywin. That's what's led to everything else. Therefore, this is all on you. And he's like, I didn't blow the Sept of Baelor up, which killed Tommen's wife, which led him to kill himself. You know, they both are, they have so much resentment for one another.
Yeah. And there's just great acting as well from both of them. There's just the silent moment where he pours himself a glass of wine, pauses, and then pours her a glass of wine was just brilliant. Just really, really good.
Yeah, Dinklage has been really good with opposite Emilia Clarke, and he's been really good with Jon Snow and Kit Harington. Mm. But I love him with Lena Headey. There's just such an innate... they've just been through so much, and this is what you're saying, like, there's so much richness in these characters just hashing it out, or not, as it were.
It's just siblings, you know, and we see it in Succession as well. There's just there's that connection with siblings that is just weird, and that you can't really put it into words. You can't, you know, it's not something that you can kind of bottle. There's just that weird thing. It's kind of like, yeah, I remember you in a nappy. I remember you getting smacked, you know, bollocked by a dad. I remember kind of dobbing you in it. I hate you so much, but actually, we are siblings, and it is
we're the only ones
to continue our kind of journey and our name.
It's such a weird... they're the only ones that know what it's like to be their parents, sons, or daughters. And I think, it's also just I think you could see with Tyrion, like, not regret, but this feeling of like, we are on opposite sides, and that's like irreconcilable at this point. Like, I've bet on the other horse. And he said to her, because she said, you know, why do you want her to sit on the throne? And he said, I can curb her worst impulses, which I could never do with you. It's what's interesting is, you know, Tyrion actually fails to do that as well with Daenerys. But he thinks he can. I kind of thought, oh, it's interesting when he goes to Daenerys, because I thought, what, is it just because you hate your family? But he genuinely thinks, oh, I could try and make her a better version of Cersei, which is such a really, like, complex kind of thing. And that's why I don't buy that he was ever in love with Daenerys. I think it is close to a sibling affection. And there's also a bit of weird parent-child. I know they're not that different in age, but this sense of, like, I want you to be better than my sister.
Yeah.
Quite a nurturing. I'll tell you another relationship.
They talked about it before in the previous episode. You know, you spoke of breaking the wheel, and actually you're not breaking the wheel. This is just the same fucking wheel, you know.
Yeah, this wheel's known a lot of, like, death, explosions, armies, famine.
Yeah.
Tell us what's new.
We're going to go grab a quick break. When we come back, we say goodbye to one of the greats.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to Dragoncast. Our Game of Thrones rewatch of Season 7, Episode 7, The Dragon and the Wolf. Let's go to Winterfell. We'll do kind of sidebar, kind of peripheral stuff. I forgot how fucking great this was. I just adored this whole thing. Because it was one of the few times, aside from big like Red Wedding-y type things, it was one of the few times where I was just caught completely unaware by what was going on. I can remember watching it the first time, and when they're there, and and Sansa's just like, "How do you plead, Lord Baelish?" I was like, "Oh my god!" It was just beautiful. I loved it. Right? Did you think that was going to happen? I can't remember.
Well, actually, I'll tell you what happened. I got a lot of this episode spoiled at the time.
How?
It leaked, and I saw something on Reddit about it.
Oh, man.
But, so no, I mean, I wouldn't have guessed. But I think, it's a clever little pivot. I mean, I never thought Arya was going to get killed.
No.
At all. But I don't, I thought this, it's an amazing death. Littlefinger is incredible. I just don't love, we talked about this a bit last week. I just feel like the plan makes no sense. No. And I feel like one thing I have enjoyed with this rewatch is Bran. And actually we talked about him last week where like, I feel like he just pops up when they need him.
Yeah.
But he has spoken about this by the end of this episode, actually, that he can't just free flow through all the things. He doesn't know what he's looking for. Sometimes he's just sat in thought and he'll get like, it makes me think a lot of deja vu or like, trigger him. Like when Littlefinger said to him something about chaos, he just goes, "Oh my God, chaos is a ladder," right? Like he kind of, So this rewatch, I feel like I'm okay with Bran not just sitting everyone down and going, "Oh my God, here's all the things you need to know." Cause he's not got to that point yet. One thing I do find hard to understand is like, when did they decide to do this plan?
Yeah.
Because all the Sansa's accusations against Littlefinger, she's known for a long time. Is it that she had to wait until Bran could confirm them? I just would love.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Why now? Yeah.
Why now? Because it's the finale is the reason. And I think like, again, we talked about this last week, like when you've not got as much time, you start with the moment, the thing that's going to get everyone talking, and you work backwards. I think
also because they know that what's coming is a war. And they, they need fighters and they need leaders. And actually, so your Varyses and Missandes and Grey Worms, and little things.
Olenna Tyrell's, like.
Yeah, are just kind of like, what are they going to do? They're just going to hide in, hide in a room with Cersei again. Or, there's no time for that now.
There's no scheming to be done.
Yeah.
Exactly. You need to kind of clear the decks. I just think.
No, you're right. I mean, there's no.
I'd have been as invested watching Sansa, Arya, and Bran huddle together in their room going, "Shit, this guy's been playing all of us. We can take him out."
Yeah.
I'd have loved that. And I think,
here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
they could have Scooby-Dooed it.
Honestly, they could have. But, last episode, Arya and Sansa had these very protracted arguments. And I was saying, if they'd done them. Intentionally done them in front of people, So the little finger knew they were falling out, but actually they were working against him. I thought that would have been really cool. Yeah. All of which is to say, the scene is great, and Sophie Turner plays it cold as ice. Arya, amazing, and Bran, Dobbs, little finger.
What did
in
he come out with? What was his? He did the mic drop, didn't he? What was it? He repeated a conversation he narrated what had happened. Well, I think that may be why it's happened. Bran did seal the fate where he was just like, guys, okay, this is what actually happened with our dad, you know? So there's no forgiving that, you know, especially with Arya there, because they'd already talked about how much they missed their dad and all the rest of it. So with Bran confirming that actually Littlefinger that did that.
Bran confirms what Littlefinger said to Ned when he turned on him. So in season one, Ned asks the Gold Cloaks to arrest Cersei in the throne room. Littlefinger sort of goes, I told you shouldn't trust me.
Yeah.
And in that moment, Bran goes there. So maybe, and I'm just thinking this is coming to me now, and I'm very gently letting the show off the hook. They know that Bran's powers, it's not Google. So they have to get Littlefinger on trial, and they have to force him to say things that will kick Bran's green sight into gear, right? When he goes, I was always loyal to your father, Bran can go, it's all fact-checking it, like, wait. No, that's not true.
Yeah.
Do you know, does that sort of make sense? That's thinking. They are having to walk him into Bran's path a little bit.
Yeah. No, that does make sense. But, you know, I can forgive all of that because it was just a brilliant 5 minutes of television. It was just like, you know, because we've been wanting Littlefinger to get his just desserts for so long. And actually, that was, you know, Stannis had been unsatisfying. Mm. Ramsay had been pretty satisfying, but kind of a bit meh. And this just felt like he got what he deserved, and we got it in a way that made the viewers, like, it sated our appetite for our bloodlust for bad guys.
Yeah, and he has been, you know, we've wanted Sansa to, like, grow less dependent on him. And even in season six, you know, she did help with the Battle of the Bastards, but it was Littlefinger's influence. So it all is, like, really full circle and really satisfying. I would love Winterfell to have, like, three more lamps.
It's just so because dingy, that, isn't it?
I know they're in the north. Listen, I'm from the north. It gets dark at night. Guys, get some more torch. I thought, because, you know, I know Winterfell is a bit more rugged than some of these opulent castles, but I was like, guys.
But the tech would have got there by now. There's no reason for it to be like that, you know?
Have a few rugs on the floor. Have some scatter cushions. I just thought, oh my god, this place literally looks like
B&M's everywhere. You know,
honestly, Sansa's good at sewing. Can't she make a few cushion covers? She's literally got nothing else to do. And then after this scene, Arya and Sansa have a great conversation on the sort of battlements at Winterfell.
Yes. Yeah.
Beautiful, because when we see them, they're separated by one of the bits of stone.
Yeah.
Side by side, divides through them, and then it pans to seeing them side by side. Oh, and it's just really nice.
Like, well spotted, Chris.
Really, really nice. It's real. They come together, they're on the same side of the wall.
Yeah.
They're united, and there's that great line, when the winter winds blow, the lone wolf dies, but the pack survives.
Great line. It's fucking like, I mean, great. It's like that's an Adele lyric. If ever I had one, maybe Florence. Yeah. Maybe Florence and the Machine.
She wishes she was in House Stark. Adele would be.
Probably the Tyrell. She'd be a cackling Tyrell.
Oh my god, that's what I was going to say. Having a bit of Arbor Gold wine.
Florence, Miss Florence Machine, would 100% be like Winterfelled up. Like, woe is me.
Yeah. What would you be? What geographically? Where would you be on there? Midland. I mean,
geographically. I'm northern. I'm Derby.
That's what I said. It's Midlands.
In my mind, I'm a wildling, but I suspect I'm probably just a Greyjoy. Maybe.
No. I think kind of Baratheon, maybe, because that's kind of around there.
I'll take Baratheon. Yeah. You would 100%, forgetting the fact that you're a Northern, you would 100% be working in the Iron Bank.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah,
you'd be Mark Gatiss. You'd be with Mark Gatiss going, hang on a second, the fucking Lannisters. Do we know where that train of money went? Because according to my records, that I've not had, they didn't save their post office tracking receipt.
Yeah. Oh my God, that would be me. Oh my God. But also, I'm very well travelled.
I was about to say that, yes.
Always going hither and thither with my, taking my selfies. But yeah, oh my God, that actually would be me. Probably raised in the north, went over to Essos, opened a junior ISA,
local boy,
never
done
looked
good.
Back.
The kind of wildling local paper would like do a piece on you going, local boy done good.
Yeah. Do you know though, many, 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 many years ago, about 4 years ago, I was named in Carlisle Living's 100 most influential people from Carlisle.
Fucking hell. That's good, man.
And I was on their cover.
Wow.
They did a cover with like some of the people and my picture was on there.
Wow. You know, I've never received a single accolade like that ever.
Never.
And I'm from Derby.
Yeah. you know, Derby paper that can...
You know, well, I haven't said that. I have been asked to present an award in Derby in September at like the local like things, which I'll probably do. But no, like you go onto like Derby's Wikipedia and it says notable, like whatever, alumni, whatever it is. And I guarantee you, not that I check that often, I have to say.
Yeah.
just to clarify. So, and I genuinely couldn't give two shits, but I am going to say that I know my stock has waned over the years, but there was a point where I was kind of like, hang on a second, guys. You know, I kind of thought I might have got a bit of a nod, but no. Let me scroll down and find out who's on it. Notable people. There's like Joseph Wright. He will give him that because he's like one of the most famous portrait and landscape painters ever. It goes down, start getting to the 1900s. We get into like modern era, yeah?
Yeah,
Jessica Garlick.
Who?
Precisely.
The inventor of garlic.
Yeah, she was like Pop Idol or X Factor at some point. A Dubsy, a grime music artist, young man, an MC. Graham Coxon was apparently lived for a very short time near Derby. Jyoti Mishra, friend of mine, Jyoti Mishra, who was White Town, who had that hit with Your Woman.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Film, TV and theatre. Kevin Lloyd, who was Tosh from The Bill. Taylor. Yeah, fair enough. Ewan Mitchell, who we know from being in House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon, of course.
Aemon Targaryen. And I guess Paddy in some way, but Paddy's not even on here.
What?
I'm not anywhere. It's like if Jessica Garlick can get on,
I just
that,
think
I kind
if
of feel
Garlick's
like
on there, you should be on there.
You know, can we start? Look, it's not for me
you
to
you can
say,
probably edit it yourself.
I couldn't possibly do that, but if I wouldn't know how to do that. But if any listeners know how to edit,
well, all I would say is,
am I allowed
Carlisle
to cite an insurrection like that?
Carlisle doesn't even have a notable resident section on its Wikipedia page, so... Well,
there's no reason why it couldn't.
Me, Grace Dent.
You and Gracie.
You know, Rory Stewart was an MP in Penrith. That sort of counts. He wasn't
just,
from there.
I think, you know, if anyone... I don't know. I've got no merch or anything to offer anybody, and I wouldn't know how to do it. But should anyone be that inclined, you know, a notable person section on the Carlisle Wikipedia page with just Chris Mandel and Grace Dent on it. Would be
do you know actually
amazing.
Another one who should be on? My mate Sarah, who I went to college with, is a DJ on Radio 1 now. She's called Sarah Story.
I know Sarah Story.
She does the Friday night like dance show. I went to college with her.
Did you?
She's like absolutely massive now. Like in the last 18 months, she's
Sarah, okay, all right. Chris, Sarah and Grace. And, you know, I wouldn't lower myself to to getting involved in such disgusting.
Well,
tactics,
we're very busy people.
We're very busy people, but it'd be, I'd be offended if I saw. I wouldn't be offended if I saw my name on there. But I don't even know. I don't know how that stuff works.
No, thank God. Because
anyway, enough of this. This is disgusting. I hear people saying numbers like 5, 6, 7. What comes next?
Me on Wikipedia. What else did we discuss? So there's a couple of other things we should discuss about this episode. You know, we talked about how there's like not a lot of time left, right?
Yeah.
Gotta just get down to the brass tacks. So why do we have this storyline about Theon? on about Yara.
Yeah, I don't need to see another kind of like shoreside kind of pledge of allegiance with like six men. Yeah, it was unnecessary. And I mean, it's like Yara would have been on the boat off the coast of King's Landing then. He should have just fucking gone after.
It's so funny because Yara's one of those characters where you're like, God, if they need to kill someone off, they could just knock her head off sort of thing. But she does survive the whole thing, mostly by just staying out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. She's but, maybe she's the cousin Greg of Game of Thrones. Who knows?
Oh, that's a good shout.
I do like Yara though. I love Jenna who played her. I think she played her really well. But yeah.
I think they should have done more with her. I wondered if she was maybe busy filming something.
No, I think she was certainly pregnant.
Interesting. What happens is they want to have a John and Theon scene, which makes sense. This is maybe the only time to do it, okay?
Yeah, fair enough.
That bit's fine. Being like, oh yeah, you are one of Ned Stark's sons as well. I'm like, was he?
Yeah, but again,
I know he wasn't.
But again, that was just a kind of precursor. That was just to kind of like ham up the
Theon the
reveal.
Saving.
No, the reveal. I think where.
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. Then though, you get this scene where he's like, "Okay, guys, let's go and save Yara," and they're all like, "No." So he gets beaten up by one of his men, which is awful.
Only,
and they do this
only
thing.
Saves it because he got kicked in his imaginary nuts.
Now
I want to ask, even if you had your cock and balls cut off, Chris Mandel, and you had a big bearded bloke knocking 7 bells of shit out of you on a beach,
right,
and then need you in the, which only happened in Game of Thrones land maybe a year ago, maybe max.
And listen, they don't have clean stitches.
No.
They'd have just cauterized it with a burning piece of metal.
We saw Jamie's hand, you know, the stump of that. If someone started kneeing you in that, that would still hurt. That was
also
like
he must have, not to get too graphic, but he must have some something that enables him to urinate.
Well, yeah, he'd have like a little flap somewhere. Wouldn't he have like a little clitty thing? I don't know. I don't know what the
Jamie.
Well, I just don't know what to call it.
No, just this little opening. I am
sorry.
Going bright red. This is taken. Can you bleep that out? Can you do like
I can't. I'm going to make you feel
uncomfortable. What about all those sound effects?
All the stuff that
here?
We've like talked about in Game of Thrones, and you get typical homosexual. You start blushing because I said the word clit.
No, it's not that you said a clitty thing.
Clitty thing.
No, so I think that would be excruciating, but what I hate is the way that they show the guy knee him and go like,
huh?
As if it's...
But it was Superman 2. Have you seen Superman 2, where General Zod realises that he doesn't have his powers anymore? And Superman's like, ah-ha-ha-ha!
But then Theon, who is near death at this point, then proceeds to beat the other guy to death.
Only with two punches. Just two punches. The other guy had like...
Didn't he lose most of his fingers when he was... You know, it's like... And then it's like, oh, now they respect him. Let's all go. It's like, what the fuck?
It's how much they rate the intelligence of the crew. It's just like, he's winning. We're with it. Oh, no, he's lost. We're with him. It's just like...
Yeah.
What? Have they all
the
just
man who won
to...
by not having any genitals is the man I will follow to my watery grave.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought, God, that was 5 minutes we could have had.
Yeah, I guess in some way, maybe it's the long... They know that they want Theon to have... And Theon does have an honourable, you know, has a great end in just a few episodes.
Yes, he does. Yeah,
he has a
it's
fantastic
clear that they're building
end.
Him up for more.
It's just... And they've slowly been giving him honour turning him, you know, his resurrection of Theon from Reek, and maybe it's a bit of that, but yeah, ham-fisted. And
do you know what I would have liked? They need him as the sort of connecting bit to Yara. Do you know what I would have really liked, though, is for him to have actually stayed at Winterfell and been like Sansa's kind of hand. I think that would have been quite cool. Like Sansa, like, because obviously she's going to be like queen in the north.
That would have been good.
I would have loved it. And then all of the kids having to like get over like what happened with Theon in order to like get at Littlefinger. I think that would have been really cool. And then we could have had Theon and Littlefinger together who have never interacted. Tell you a scene I really liked, surprisingly, is Bran and Sam reuniting.
That was good.
Specifically, he's like, I'm the three-eyed raven. And Sam goes, oh, what does that mean then? He goes, oh, I can see things that have happened and I can see things that are happening. And he goes, oh, right, okay. And then Bran says, John's on his way back from King's Landing with Daenerys Targaryen. And he goes, oh did you see that in your vision? Did you? He goes, he just holds up the letter.
Holds up the letter. Nope, yeah, it's great.
Got a letter. Yeah. It was so funny. And it was just, it was so weirdly, like, it was so weird that it was just funny. And I thought, God, that is like funny of Bran to just be like, nope.
But again, you know, and again, falls into your explanation that he can't control it and he only sees, he's not seeing it in any form, any running order. Because it's kind of like, you watch that, it's like, and then John says, no, they were married. He's not a sand. He is. And you just think, how does Bran not know that?
Well, wait. No, Bran. Wait. Bran so, said.
Bran. Oh, so, no, so Bran said. So Bran explained to Sam. He was like,
yes,
I have important news. Jon Snow is the daughter, is the son of. Rhaegar and Lyanna, blah, blah, blah. He's not a Snow. He is a Sand.
He's a Sand.
And then Sam goes, wait, no, because he's not a bastard.
Because he was,
because
they were secretly
married. And then,
so I do have a bit of a theory about this. Because Bran doesn't see all the information, he saw that he's a bastard somewhere else. So he's going, okay, so he's not born in the north. That's kind of a, oh, he wasn't. Yeah, he was sort of a northerner's bastard, but he was born in the south. That might impact his like application to be king in the north. Sam only knew about the marriage because of this. He was transcribing the Septon's personal diary.
Yeah,
Bran wouldn't have been. I think what Bran is incapable of doing is to connect the dots.
Yeah, so, that's what. Yeah, yeah. So he wouldn't have necessarily have been at that place. But he went there, didn't he, in this episode? Didn't he just decide to go there, though? So
Sam said to him, oh, I read in the Septon's diary that they did get married. Bran's like, oh, I can sort of access that. I think it sort of does make, it does make sense in a fashion now. I think I sort of understand it a bit more. But I think
joined each other's dots.
It's sort of actually the thing that I would say, it's a bit like TikTok. In that when you swipe, you don't know what's about to come.
Yeah.
It's sort of, there's some sort of algorithm that is tailored to what you want to watch. But because I was thinking, God, I bet most of the time he sat there doing his visions.
Yeah.
He's like, oh God, I'm watching like a potato farmer on the Isle of Tarth.
Oh my
and
God,
I'm like, is this relevant? Are you actually someone's secret child? And he's like, oh no, I'll just go somewhere else. And then it's like, oh, there's just someone in the brothel. Is that anyone I know? No.
I think that's Roz. Yeah.
So that's the thing. Sam helps him sort of connect the dots. And then he realizes, okay, Rhaegar and Lyanna were actually married. That means he's not a bastard. And that means Jon is the heir to the throne. What is interesting, especially where Bran goes next season, where he's like, none of this matters, is that Bran is like, we have to tell him. Because I'm sort of like, but do you?
Yeah.
Doesn't this just complicate things?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'd forgotten he was called Aegon.
Yes. So that would make him, I think, Aegon the Sixth. But let me just.
Something like
that. I'm going to just check that.
But yet again, thanks, George. Could have chosen just breaking the mold a little bit. No.
Could you have another name? I think the thing is, though, like, I can see why they always use the same names, because people die so quickly, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, so they're kind of like, well, it's not like there's already five Aegons running around.
Yeah, Aegon
like,
the sixth, you're right. Yeah.
Aegon the sixth.
Aegon the sixth.
Yeah, great episode. And then we get Jon and Daenerys shagging.
We get Jon and Daenerys shagging, which was like a really weird sex scene. But then we go north of the wall for the final thing, which I just loved this as a final scene. It was one of the few. In fact, I think I'd have to go back and look at final shots of each season because quite often they are someone travelling somewhere else.
So we had
Arya on the ship one season, heading over to Braavos. We had a season where White Walkers were walking through the snow past Samwell. I think maybe season two, I want to say. I can't remember. Maybe there's a theme there that I've not picked up on. But I really enjoyed this because it was just like, it was what we, such a great, the last 10 minutes of this, we got R and L equals J. And we got an ice dragon breaking down Eastwatch. It was glorious. I fucking loved it because it was
really,
like,
really good.
Because it just, all it said was, they may as well have just put like the end titles, here we fucking go, lads. You know, it was just like proper. I loved it.
Yeah, it was really good. And I think the scale was really helpful.
Yeah. Because I'd forgotten that Tormund was there with.
Yeah.
With
too.
Beric. With Beric Dondarrion, yes. Wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So they somehow survived that kind of. They managed to run down the stairs.
Because Eastwatch again was in the intro and you can see that they, rather than a lift, which the Castle Black has, they have this sort of very intricate narrow staircase.
Rickety staircase that's only
designed to run up in a hurry.
It's one person width staircase as well, which is like, so if you're at the top and you just like, you're kind of like
someone's coming up
down and someone's up, it's like, fucking hell, wait, can you just wait a minute?
I need a wee. Do you know what? You'd just piss off the end, wouldn't you?
You would. I mean, it'd be.
Do you think people, this is.
Here we go. Go on. Get
lovely note
to
end.
You thinking of docking? Are we talking about docking here? No.
Do you think people would just have a poo off the end of the wall?
100%.
Do you think it would all just run down?
It'd be like when if you live under the flight path at Heathrow, it's just brown ice, isn't it?
Oh no! I'm glad I don't. Yeah,
it just comes out and it just like it doesn't make it to the.
One thing about the wall getting blown apart is that there's still rubble like half the size of the wall. So do they all have to? Because I was a bit like, God, it's going to be really.
I think
hard.
You're fine. There was a convenient flat part that we just saw walking through.
They sort of did a bit of landscaping, didn't they? They got a nice winding sort of bit going around. Yeah. Really good way to end the season. And I thought that it's
the worst
terrifying.
Fears have come true. You know, the one thing that was stopping all of this happening was the wall, and now that's fucked.
I do have this other thing that I thought of this episode, which is why haven't they tried to get through the wall sooner? Obviously they don't have a dragon, but couldn't they just smash the gate at Castle Black? And I realized that actually I don't think they've been trying to go south of the wall at all. They were going to kill the three-eyed raven who was in his cave, and since Bran has come south, that is the only reason they need to come south. Or not the only reason, but certainly.
I was thinking
that because I sometimes people go when they watch the show, and I'm sure we've gone, look, guys, you've been going south for like 7 years.
Yeah.
But actually, I don't think they've been going south. They've been looking for
the three-eyed raven.
Yeah.
And they only found him because the Night King managed to touch Bran.
Bran fucked things up as usual.
And probably knew that and decided not to sacrifice himself. He was going to sit in... Sitting King's Landing, let them all come to him.
Honestly, the original three-eyed raven, though, or the three-eyed crow, whatever he's called, he doesn't have a guest for like hundreds of years. He finally gets someone to turn up, and it's like he just fucks everything
up. You see, this is why I never invite anyone around my house. It's like, you see what happens when we have guests.
This is why I have my Amazon doorbell so I can see who's coming before I let them in.
Oh, dear. There we go. Season seven is done and dusted. We are 7 out of 8. Bloody hell. We've only got three more episodes of this left.
Can I give you a bit of trivia about
season 7? Yeah.
The only season thus far in which a king doesn't die.
Wow. That's a good bit of trivia.
I got it off the Game of Thrones Wikipedia. But
yeah, thank you very much, Game of Thrones Wikipedia.
So season 6, Tommen and Balon Greyjoy, who was an acting king.
Yeah.
Season 5, Stannis and Mance Rayder.
Yeah.
Season 4, Joffrey. Season 3, Rob. Season 2, Renly. Season 1, Robert.
Bloody hell.
Good fact, that, isn't it?
That is a good fact. I also love the little facts, like you said, Theon and Littlefinger never interacted. What other characters never interacted?
Oh, that's a good question. Never interacted.
Listeners will know some. They can get
Let's get
did Brienne, who did Bran never meet? Bran met Joffrey in the openings. Yeah, I mean,
it's Bran never met. Oh no, but this is the thing, they might meet next season. Bran never met Varys.
Yeah, where does Varys die?
He dies. Oh, he goes up to Winterfell.
And we're talking about principal characters, because we know people like the Red Viper didn't meet hardly anyone, or Elena Tyrell or Marjorie Tyrell.
Here we go. I've got Game of Thrones characters that never met.
Oh. Exists as a thing already.
Oh, okay. It's like Game of Thrones characters that never shared a scene together.
Okay. Same kind of thing.
No, that can't be right.
Go on.
Ned Stark and Tyrion never shared a scene together.
Oh, what? Nah.
Yeah, because Ned's in King's Landing the whole time.
Tyrion was in the brothel in the season 1 when there was the lineup and greeting everybody.
And then Tyrion's outside of the city for season 1, and Ned's only in the city for season 1.
Shit.
That's really weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Another one. Okay, that can't be. I don't trust this. This says that Sansa and Rob never shared a scene together.
Sansa, what, brother and sister?
But they say, when they say sharing a scene,
they mean the same shot or the same...
Having dialogue rather than when the royal family arrive, they are all stood in a row. I think they mean like a scene of there's dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck off. Yeah. Not
okay, here's an obvious one, but Daenerys and Tywin.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Daenerys and anyone who dies before.
Yeah, well,
Daenerys and Joffrey.
Daenerys
and Margaery. But if anyone has any that they like want to remind us of, let us know.
Yeah, any kind of interesting facts and stuff like that. Dead interesting.
And then, so next is the final run for us, and we're doing 2 episodes of the season 8 per episode of the pod.
We are. So next week we are going to be doing episode 1, which is Winterfell, and episode 2, which is Night of the Seven Kingdoms. Week after that, we're doing The Long Night. God, that was episode 3. Bloody hell. And The Last of the Starks. And then week after that, it's the final one that we're going to live stream on YouTube, called The Bells, and of course, The Iron Throne. And then we're going to be kind of bereft. We haven't really, I mean, much like Daenerys and her succession, and also the Roys, we've thought little about what happens once the Game of Thrones rewatch end. It sounded like such a mountain to climb at the beginning when House of the Dragon ended.
We've been doing it for a long time, though.
We have.
We'll have a think. We'll need to regroup.
Yeah,
and figure something out.
You know, we might take a couple of weeks off.
We might. I'd really like a holiday. I'm really trying to get Rob, to book a holiday.
Well, you've never shared a scene together in all these months.
Yeah, he's like the sort of Meris from Frasier. He listened to he listens to the Succession one. He was like, oh, I didn't know I'd get mentioned so often.
Oh, shit. Does he know? Oh, God. Forbade you from calling Billie Eilish?
No. Oh, he didn't hear that, because I think that was on a Game of Thrones
episode. Awkward. It's like you using his workmates as social currency.
Street cred. Yeah. No, but he was like, oh, I didn't know I'd be name checked. I said, well, you know, here and there. Only when you do anything interesting.
Yeah.
Just like right, Mrs. East. She's a sort of perennial character.
She's always looming over me. Always looming over me. Always here. Always here somewhere. Right. Have we had any emails? The tapping has bothered someone else again. I do apologise for that. Who was it who got in touch? Let me tell you. Richard Toll. What is that noise in capital letters? This is far from a complaint, because I've long listened to Dragon of Thronecast, enjoying each other, but I need to know what the clicking noise is in the background of the last three episodes. My instincts say it's either Jamie or Chris getting very excited to Lord Laris proportions with a pen, clicking furiously under their table with the anticipation of describing Season 5, Episode 9. Once I hear it, I can't unhear it. Thank you so much for bringing Thrones back to life through your rewatch and doing it in a way that's like me, two mates trying to work it all out down the pub.
That's really kind.
Please carry on somehow. Maybe rewatch the ones you haven't rewatched. You know, it's a possibility. Maybe we'll maybe draw one out of the hat every now and then and gradually start filling in the gaps, maybe.
I feel like if we've watched the whole thing in piecemeal and then to rewatch it in the bits we haven't watched, it would end up just being such a confusing...
A mess, maybe. Yeah, you process. Could well be right. You could well be right. But Richard, I'm sorry about that. I did explain it in the last, maybe it's the Succession episode or something. It's me. I'm doing it now. Listen.
Yeah.
That's just me. All I'm doing is tapping on my keyboard, Googling frantically to make myself sound cleverer than I already am.
Very inconsiderate.
Yeah, very inconsiderate. I apologise. But do get in touch at dragoncast_pod on Twitter or dragoncast@daftdoris.com if you've got any thoughts. Stick it in your diary, though. The date will be... Christ, let's start plugging this now. Actually, it's going to be Monday the 15th of May, in the evening on Monday the 15th of May. Chris and I will be live streaming the final episode. God, it's 2 hours long. The final two episodes of
The final episode is 2 hours long.
No, but we're doing two at once, aren't we?
Oh yeah.
So it's going to be a healthy.
Maybe we only stream the final episode.
Yeah, let's do that.
We could do a two-part finale.
We could do episode 5. Let's work it out.
And then we
let's work
your
it
people
out.
Speak to my people.
Let's do that. Rob will speak to Mrs. East.
two characters who have never shared a scene together.
Never shared a scene together. Imagine that. Yeah. 25 years of marriage, mate. We barely share a scene together. Okay, let's do it. But stick it in your diaries. 15th of May, live stream will be the final Game of Thrones rewatch. It's going to be very exciting. Technical disaster, clearly, but it's going to be great nonetheless. Until then, Dracarys, my friend.
Dracarys.
If you'd like to get involved in the podcast, just head over to Twitter @dragoncast_pod or email dragoncast@daftdoris.com and leave us your Easter eggs, predictions and thoughts on the show. You can also watch this episode over on our YouTube channel. Just search for Dragoncast Jamie East. Any support, whether it's a follow, a share, a mention to your friend on the bus or a tattoo on your backside, is very much appreciated. Dragoncast is hosted by me, Jamie East, along with Chris Mandel, and is a Daft Doris production. Dracarys.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.